Welcome back to an episode of Mastering Mind and Movement. I am so excited. I am your host, Coach Ashley, and I am just so excited to be here just to tell you a little bit about myself. I really teach women to go from surviving to living and thriving, being your wealthy and healthy best self. Before we dive into the episode, just or one-on-one coaching, please feel free to reach out to me at coach-ash.com. You can find me on there. I am on Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, wherever you are, I may be there. So let's get straight into the episode. I am so excited. I have a guest speaker today. I have Suzanne Falter. She is a writer, a speaker. She is a podcaster, and her podcast is Self-Care for Extremely Busy Women, which is the top 2% of all podcasts. She has her own book, The Extremely Busy Women's Guide to Self-Care. She has a thriving group of 56,000 women committed to self-care on Facebook. It's an incredible group. I would definitely check it out. She has been around 15 years, and she really talks about her story, her daughter's story, and her self-discovery journey and what that looked for her. So I'm so excited to introduce you to Suzanne, and let's get straight into it.
Really appreciate you being here. And thanks. Spending a little bit of your time with me today. She's all about self-care. She's really amazing. She's been podcasting for years, so I feel like I'm definitely with an expert. And this is very fitting for the new year, and we're going to talk all about self-care and boundaries. And I think it would be great to start with, why is it so hard for women to set boundaries?
Okay, so it really doesn't even matter what generation you're in. I thought it might, but it doesn't. And we are raised in a culture in which boundaries for women are much more fluid than they are for men. And women also have an added sense of needing to nurture everybody, make sure everybody's cool, everybody's fine. We aren't always taught to think about ourselves first. And when I have done this work, sometimes I've gotten the pushback that it's inherently teaching women to be selfish. But what it's teaching women to do is to stand in their own strength and to shore up their inner reserves so they can get their needs met. Because when your needs are met, then you have more fun in life. You're able to really be there, actually be there, without being resentful or exhausted or stressed out for the people you love. And they are empowered to learn about how to support you and stand up for you as well.
I really love that. And I definitely feel like I need some self-care for myself lately because I'm launching my program soon. And it feels like, especially if you work for yourself, like you have to go, 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 go. But if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of others. So definitely feel like I need this message myself today.
And not only that, it's like the thing I've really learned in all my years of doing an online business and being an entrepreneur is that when you are feeding all areas of your life, your body, your fun factor, your family, your relationship, you know, whatever it is, when everything's in balance, your business just naturally goes better. Or your workplace, you know, whatever your situation is. We are also trained as women to think by doing more, we will be better rewarded or more respected, or in some cases, safer. Doing more doesn't actually lead us there. We think we have to overproduce a lot of the time. This idea of overproducing is one that I really like to talk about because for me, what was really true was that I was a workaholic. I really worked all the time because I thought I could work my way to a more successful business or ultimately a happier life. And what I found was that I got burned out. I didn't really achieve as much as I'd wished. And I began to resent my business and the people in my life. And I made a big change and left my marriage and came out as a lesbian and moved from upstate New York to San Francisco in 2010. And not long after that, my daughter died very suddenly. So there were all these shifts and things that happened. And of course, I had to stop working completely after my daughter died. And I was planning to take off a few months, you know, and I ended up not working, Ashley, for 2 years.
Wow.
So by not working for 2 years, I really learned about the value of work that is the right work, because I was doing the wrong work. It was lucrative, but I had no soul. I had lost it completely. I didn't know what my values were. I didn't know what I cared about. I mean, I think I knew, but I was avoiding it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that whole transition that happened for me was very sudden and very dramatic. And it really forced me to focus on myself and just going through each day, just tuning into what I really needed and getting it. And often what I needed was to go to the gym and go home and cry all afternoon, or write in my journal, or write a blog, or, you know, drive to a tea house in the little village I was living in and just sit there and drink tea and look out the window. It was like, I really was good for nothing for a long, long time. And instead of fighting it, I embraced it. And it turned out to really, really be excellent self-care. And it taught me something about the value of doing less. And about saying no to people, speaking of boundaries, because, you know, people were naturally approaching me and asking me, can you do this? Do you want to do that? You know, people were reaching out and I had no capacity. So I had to say no a lot. I would even go on hikes, you know, thinking, okay, a hike with a hiking group, that'll fix me up. And I'd get to the trailhead and just have to turn around and go home. I just couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle talking to people or even being in a group, which was very unlike me because I am pretty much an extrovert. So this period of pulling back taught me to say no. It taught me that it was okay to do less or nothing, as it turned out. And it also taught me that I could ask for help and get it when I needed it, which is another piece of this puzzle that women struggle with, because I think we think by not really asking for anything, we're helping other people. But what we're doing is we're turning into kind of these annoyed, resentful martyrs who are stressed out and good for nothing and burning out.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is so fitting for my own life after in August leaving my 3-year relationship, like a month before we were supposed to get married. And yesterday I took myself out on a date. I was so scared. I went out for like pizza and wine. Then I took myself to a movie. And when I got home, I didn't realize how mentally exhausted I was from pushing myself out of my comfort zone. Like, I know it'll get easier, but I realized how scared I was, but I was like, I deserve to take myself out. Like, I work my ass off. Like, I definitely deserve to have some wine. And and like in the moment when I was driving to the restaurant, I decided to just start complimenting myself out loud.
Oh, that's great.
I need, I am the best partner I can be to myself, and I need to treat myself like that. So I love everything you're saying in terms of like just taking care of yourself. And I really forced myself to sit there and not even work. Like I did some writing and I just like, and I was really nervous in the beginning because it was just me at a table facing a family reunion. And I'm like,
oh yeah.
I was like, yep, this is me.
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
Yeah. And do you think you'd do it again?
Yes. Oh my God. I had so much fun and I've been dying to see the new movie House of Gucci.
Oh yeah. Me too. Right.
And nobody wanted to go see it with me. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take myself.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. That's great. Because what you're doing is you're digging into your desires, your preferences, your ideas, what you think is fun. Even, you know, the question of where to eat your dinner. Pizza and wine was calling to you, so you went for it. These are little luxuries that we don't always take into account, and we take the opportunity to be able to do that for granted. We assume we'll always be able to take ourselves out to do what we want to do someday, but you never know how life unfolds. And to be able to spend time with yourself is critical. That's one thing I learned, because right before my daughter died, my relationship that I was in ended. It was an unhealthy relationship. It was literally bad for me. And that partner broke up with me, and I immediately had to move out of the house we shared. So I didn't have a home or a relationship. And man, did I feel alone. And here I was living in a place where I really hadn't been for very long, and I didn't have a lot of friends, and I hadn't really set up an infrastructure because I'd been working all the time. And, you know, I just had to make up my entire life from scratch after that. And I want to give you the update on what happened. 2 years in, I was starting to worry about money. I was living on savings, and I had gotten a divorce settlement, which I was using to kind of pay for my life. But I was living super cheaply in a friend's free guest room in exchange for cooking for her and taking care of her dog, which was a really great trade. And she was delightful to live with, and we had a lot of fun. And so that was cool. So then I started to feel like I could return to work. I could maybe find a new relationship. These wheels all started churning about 18, 20 months after Teal died. And by the time we got to the 2 year mark, I had met the woman who I'm now married to, you know, a really great relationship that's extremely healthy and happy. And I was offered a gig writing fiction, which is what I still do. That's my job. You know, the self-care work is really like this public offering that I don't really make any money from, but I do this because I believe in it. And because my daughter, Teal, wanted to be a healer before her death. And she died of a medically unexplainable cardiac arrest 2 hours after we had dinner in a restaurant. She just collapsed. And, that was mysterious enough. But the fact was, she was just about to start studying to be a healer. So I figured the self-care work is my chance to fulfill her healing legacy. And the novels are just plain old fun to write. And I've been a professional writer for most of the last 40 years. So I can do this without much stress. And it's quite enjoyable. And I feel like I'm writing books that really convey a message I care about. And just really a happy life. And I could not have figured it out. It had to come to me. And it came to me because I was living in balance and I was taking care of myself. And that is how the universe flows, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love that. And it's funny because I am definitely in the spare bedroom of my best friend's house taking care of the dog. So
there you go. That's kind of what it takes, right?
Yeah. And I got the opportunity to move more south, and I wasn't expecting it, but I definitely know what you mean in terms of just really allowing like the universe to kind of take you. I always felt like I had to be in control. I was always scared of the unknown and the future. And after my whole life imploding.
Yeah.
It's so free and liberating, but also I'm just like, okay, like I'm waking up, like what's new today in a way?
Yeah. What's new today and what do I need today? One of the questions I always suggest women ask themselves is, what do I need right now? What do I need right now? You know, you might think that's a kind of an obvious, dumb question, but it's surprisingly difficult to answer. Not everybody knows what they need right now. I didn't. It took me a long time to identify what I need. And partly because I didn't feel I had permission to identify what I need, because when I was a kid, I was taking care of everybody else. You know, classic dysfunctional childhood. And you don't get to have needs. You get to have responsibilities. So there you go.
Yeah. And I also think it's interesting. So many women gravitate to like working out in the gym as self-care. Mm-hmm. Like, that's definitely one of the top ones that women go to. But I've noticed within reflecting on myself that's not necessarily the way I use working out as self-care. Mm-hmm. Like today I was like, oh, I should go to the gym. I haven't been in 2 days. And I'm like, you know, I'd rather just walk around outside. Like that just feels so much better. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as women, we just identify working out as self-care when sometimes that's not even what it's doing for us. We just feel like it's supposed to.
Well, it does help with, you know, your stress level and your blood pressure and your general mental health for sure. However, that ain't it, folks, because if you are listening to this thinking, but I go to the gym every day, fine, but how's your emotional self-care? You know, I think probably one of the most popular things I ever wrote was an article, I think it was in Elephant Journal, maybe Tiny Buddha, and it was Tiny Buddha, and it was about emotional self-care. Folks, Google it, emotional self-care, Suzanne Falter, you'll find it. And I really laid out some of those pieces of emotional self-care because it is so easy for us to forget that we matter and that we are rushing to, you know, check things off the list or to fulfill someone else's agenda. It seems difficult to ask the partner of 10 years, could you please start doing the dishes? Or could you please pick the kid up after school? Or could you please take over the laundry or whatever we have gathered around us as our needed things. I have a Facebook group, the self-care group for extremely busy women. And in that group, there's a lot of women who are talking all the time about, you know, not only does my husband do nothing around the house, blah, blah, you know, he also is critical of my housekeeping.
Yeah.
And I'm like, great. That means he can do it. Mm-hmm. Why not? Let's do a little like on the spot training if we need to.
Exactly. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So we kind of talked about lots of people talk about self-care and you kind of talked about like what's different about your take on it. Is there anything else that we haven't touched on that you really feel like is important to self-care that you think is a lot different that you bring kind of your experience on?
I don't know how different it is, but I'll tell you what's true for me. One of the most important parts of self-care is to get real about your life. And many of us are living in a deluded place of believing everything's fine. I'm using air quotes, and it's not fine. But we can't admit it's not fine because we think we're going to have to make changes and we're afraid to make changes. So the suggestion becomes, see what's really true for you in your life. Is it really true that this job is the only one you can get, that this job is barely tolerable, but you have to put up with it because people expect you to do it or because it's the only job you can get? An example, I asked women what they were tolerating in their lives in my Facebook group, and a woman wrote, well, I saw your question and I decided to quit my job. So I went in and sat down and talked to my boss, and I walked out of there with the same wages for half the hours. And I decided to keep my job. Like it was a miracle. It was a miracle. And it was because she got real about what was not working in her life. And it's so tempting to just want to keep it simple. Okay, I got kids. It's much more important to worry about the kids. Of course, children are important. Children are, you know, very demanding little, energy users, shall we say, and energy spenders. And we really need to create a structure that really supports them, which begins with really supporting ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. And I would love to get into kind of what are the 5 self-care basics that we should all practice, no matter how busy we are in our day?
Well, some of them I've already talked about. And the first one, of course, is understanding your needs and really getting granular. And one thing I suggest women do is take out a notebook or a doc on a phone or a tablet, whatever, and really delve into this question of what do I need right now? Maybe you'll think about it while you're driving. Maybe you'll write something and it'll make you write something else. Whatever the case may be, it's really worth exploring because once you know what you need, you can begin to get back in alignment. My personal belief is that we're all born in perfect alignment, and then we get knocked out of alignment by dysfunctional families and life and unmet needs and so forth. So we're still kind of all out of alignment, and we may stay that way for the rest of our lives unless we go within and we begin to do this inner work. And number two, of course, is what we started with in this conversation, Ashley, which is setting boundaries. When you know how to set boundaries effectively, you live in your inner power. You really hold space for yourself, just the way you are talking about in your own life. And when you have correct boundaries around you with everyone else and with yourself, for me, it meant not working for 2 years. That was a boundary I set with me. When you have those boundaries working for you, you can begin to replenish your mojo. And we're talking about sort of shoring up your support, right? So then number three becomes asking for help with what you need. Now, I have a very hard time admitting I need help because I want to assume and pretend, hello, it's a real pretend that I know how to do everything perfectly and I'm better at it than anybody else. So not true. As it turns out, I'm pretty bad at a bunch of things. And I learned that during that 2 year period where I didn't work. I started to get help with the stuff that I really needed. And part of that help came from support groups. I didn't want to join a support group. It took me 2 years to join a grief group for parents who'd lost kids. And I find when I joined, they were like, why are you here? Like, I just took me 2 years to get here. I'm sorry, people.
Oh my gosh.
I do want to be here.
And, oh my gosh.
You know, knowing I wasn't alone and that other people were going through it and that we'd all lost children in different ways and children of different ages, but it was fundamentally the same experience. That was really healing to me. And number four is to take these things we begin to learn about ourselves. Like for me, it was not working. So I had to take action and I had to actively close down what was left of my business. And I had to stop trying to launch a new business. And that was very rough. You know, it took me several tries to stop. It didn't work immediately because I really had compulsive behavior around working and I had to see that. And that got me into 12-step recovery around, you know, money and work and all kinds of stuff, which was very helpful. And I built a fantastic network of wonderful people. So that kind of taking action and showing up at the meetings or, you know, taking the steps to stop working and to just really close my business and take it down and be willing to just not know what was going to happen and just let go and surrender for a while. That was powerful. But those are actions and we have to take actions. And the last basic is to build these ideas about self-care that you discover into your day. Because it's all very well and good to say, I'll go to the gym every day, or I will make time to meditate or journal, or I'll go have, you know, a glass of wine with my best friend at least once a week, but you got to put it in your calendar or it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And we feel silly. It's like, oh, this is just, look, I schedule in, do nothing. I really do.
I love
because
it.
Because if you put it on your calendar, it means you've given yourself permission to do that thing. And if I don't have it on my calendar, the permission is not there. So permission granted to sit in front of the fire and just kind of fool around on my laptop or look out the window or, you know, whatever it is. And I also give myself permission to not know what I'll do on a particular day, to just like go with the flow and feel the flow and see what the flow brings. And you can do this with small kids. You can do this alone. You can do this with a partner. It's like, just have a day that's about tuning into yourself and what would be fun. I mean, how cool is that? It's very much like your date you described.
Yeah, which is funny because I was like, okay, what time should I go to the movie? The 4:30 or the 8:20? Okay, but they're like, what time should I eat? And I'm like, why does it even matter? Like,
yeah, just what do you feel like doing? You know,
exactly. Which that has been interesting to learn because I'm very like schedule structure.
Yeah,
I just love that. It's part of my personality, but having the freedom to almost do whatever you want when you feel like it
feels
even scarier sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, freedom is something we all say we want in different ways, in different meanings, I think. But when we're given it, it removes from us, it gives us the unknown, and it removes certainty. Because when you have real freedom, you don't know. I didn't know how I was going to make money. It was a shock when I was offered this gig writing fiction. And you know, I took it without even knowing if I could deliver it. It had been 15 years since I published a novel. And my patron said, "I love your fiction." And I was like, "Oh, hell, now I've got to write really good fiction." But as it turns out, the books are okay. People like them. They're well reviewed, you know, and there are lots of copies out there. So I don't know. I just feel like being willing to not know and being open to what will happen opens us up to this idea of the one of my friends, John. He says, "If not this, then something better." And you know, if you have gotten to the end of a relationship, if not this, then something better. The end of a business that didn't go where it was supposed to go, or you know, my case, a book that didn't sell, or whatever it is, something better will emerge because you detach emotionally from the thing that is not serving you. And that is self-care.
That is really powerful.
Yeah, it's good, right?
Yeah, I was just sitting back, just soaking in that quote. Like, so right.
Yeah, it's really, and that's what I mean about getting real about your life. That's what we're talking about here. And that's why this is self-care for extremely busy women, because extremely busy women need to know that they don't have to be so damn busy, first of all, that they are making the choices which create that busyness, and often because they're taking on more responsibility than is actually necessary, and that it's okay to let other people take some of it. But it's also okay to stop. It's okay to slow down. You don't have to have a crisis like I did to unravel a little bit. It's okay to break down and sob for a week. Maybe you need to. And who even knows why? It's not important. What's important, this is really kind of the upshot of all this work. What's important is something Teal was really committed to, which was being present in the moment. Now, gig was that she played her little guitar and sang the blues on the street, on sidewalks all over the world. She traveled with her little travel guitar in her backpack, and she was an incredible blues singer and a world traveler, and would work as a waitress and make a little money and go to the airport and just pick a place and go, and had absolutely no attachment to success, money, and didn't even have a home for a bunch of her adult life. She just lived in people's couches, and you know, she was just such a fun, light being, and so beautifully present that she was kind of irresistible. And you know, it's rather ironic because she just got her own apartment right before she died, and you know, finally it was like she'd settled down in the Glen Park neighborhood in San Francisco, and she was like, maybe I'm not going to travel so much this year, I don't know, we'll see. And she left behind these journals that off on every single page it said just be. Very powerful words to live by.
She sounds very, very wise.
Yeah. Not bad for 22, huh?
Yeah, that's crazy. 22. Wow. Very, very wise. That's amazing. So incredible.
So our job then, Ashley and listeners, is to work on this idea of what would it mean to just be? You know, yes, we have responsibility. Teal did not have children. She didn't have a career. Well, she might say her career was being a healer with her music, but it wasn't like there was a whole lot of ambition there. She was anti-ambition. And she was independent. She always had her own money. She made her way, always doing, you know, some days she'd have a clipboard on the street raising money. Other days once she worked in a coffee bar and she organized a strike so they could get more money per hour. I mean, it was just like, okay, let's do that. Let's have a strike, you know?
Oh my God. such a free spirit, but it's so beautiful.
Yeah. I just love it because it enables me to be a free spirit. And I was like this Germanic, organized, highly ambitious, I will get to the $1 million business kind of like a scary person. And I've experienced so much more joy since everything changed.
Mm-hmm.
Really, truly, for real.
That's so amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. This was really powerful for me, and I know for my listeners. I would love to know, is there anything going on that you would love to share with the audience? I love your Facebook group. I have been on it for a little bit. I definitely think everybody needs to go join it and check it out.
Yeah, if you search in Facebook groups for self-care, it pops right up. Self-care for extremely busy women. My book, if you're really listening to this and you're thinking, I want to dig in more detail about self-care, the book, The Extremely Busy Woman's Guide to Self-Care, has a lot of questionnaires and little, you know, surveys you can take and things that will help you navigate these bigger questions of emotional self-care. And so you can learn more about your needs. And I have a podcast called, surprisingly, Self-Care for Extremely Busy Women. And I welcome anybody to drop by. It's a good companion to this one. And I'm just delighted you took time to learn about me and Teal and our shared self-care rumba that we do.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here.